Justice League International, Bwahaha Podcast, a monthly show chronicling the adventures of the JLI era by Keith Giffen and JMD Mateus. We started with the very first issue, and our coverage goes all the way through breakdowns. We're going issue by issue in release order, tackling two comics per episode, both a Justice League America issue and a Justice League Europe issue. Now, along the way, we're also taking time out for special episodes covering the quarterly book, interviews with various comic book creators, discussing the plethora of spin-off series, cartoon appearances, the infamous TV pilot, and more. And when we're all done, we'll wrap up our coverage by looking at the 2003 and 2005 stories formerly known as the Justice League, and I can't believe it's not the Justice League. So join me in an ever-changing roster of guest hosts as we celebrate your favorite JLI members, such as...
Batman.
Martian Manhunter.
Captain Atom.
Fire. Ice.
Rocket Red.
The Flash.
The Elongated Man.
Maxwell Lord.
Elrond.
Power Girl.
Renard Russe. I mean, Crimson Fox.
Guy Gardner.
Metamorpho.
Booster Gold.
Blue Beetle.
Nort!
Justice League International Bwahaha Podcast, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Wanna make something of it?
In the DC Universe, when superpowers cause super problems for us, this team...
Welcome to Wayne Security.
...finds super solutions.
This glass is made of kryptonite, so if Superman flies close to it, his powers will weaken, and he'll safely bounce off.
Nice! And how does it work when the people inside need help from Superman?
I had not taken that scenario into account.
Powerless premieres next Thursday after Superstore on NBC.
Welcome back to the Dead TV Podcast after a long fall hiatus from our coverage of Werewolf the Series, the last show that we did. And then hopefully you tuned in to the other superhero thing that I did with a couple of co-hosts covering the pilot for the unmade TV series for Generation X, which was in the Marvel Universe. And this time we're going to take a trip across the bay, pay our 350, and go to the Daily Planet building in Metropolis, or Charm City, as we cover Powerless, the short-lived DC Comics office-setting kind of show. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mr. Seneca.
Returning to the show at long last.
Yes, I have been very, very busy in our time off. Yeah, I have had wild, massive uprisings in technology and health, and I got a new job, and my parties are going fantastically. I've got a new series of parties coming up called Mr. Zeneca's Playtime Munch here in Philly every second Thursday of the month. And so, yeah, I've just been busy and doing a whole bunch of decor for bars and restaurants. So, it's been great. It's a wild ride, but it definitely takes me off of the podcast for a while.
It definitely took you off the podcast for quite some time, indeed.
Yeah, but I'm glad we're actually coming back to Powerless, because this is one of those shows that I really, really liked, and it's a shame that they only got one season, and it was a short season at that.
And I don't even know if the entire season even aired either. I'm kind of researching that right now, because I don't even remember seeing all 12 episodes on TV, or it got bumped to a time slot that they were just dumping it into, and that's why I never finished the show.
I don't know.
But there are, in fact, 13 episodes to the show, as there was an unaired pilot that premiered at 2016 San Diego Comic-Con. And they completely changed the show after that. But they kept the entire cast.
Yeah, the cast is in it. The job is different. It's insurance, which makes a little bit of a odd watch in today's world. But yeah, you can actually find the unaired pilot on YouTube.
Right.
So if you search for the Powerless unaired pilot, you can find that, and it's quite entertaining. All the actors are really good in it. A couple people that are in the pilot did not make it into the final show, but most of them are there. And it changes the concept a bit. I like the direction they went into for the show. Having it be property insurance, it would be interesting for sure, but I think the invention angle is much more interesting to me.
So I was correct that only the first 9 episodes aired before the plug was pulled. And the last three episodes were not aired because they have no Nielsen ratings to report.
Wow, okay.
So 10, 11, and 12 were never aired. The biggest reason why the pilot was completely changed is because the showrunner at the time, Ben Quinn, departed the series, and Michael Patrick Jan and the network kind of changed it around to become the Wayne Tech office crew that it became.
Was there a real reason to take it out of the insurance, or is it just a wacky idea that he had?
NBC decided to change the direction from the insurance company to being part of Wayne Tech.
Yeah.
Which also changes the character of Alan Tudyk as well, because Alan Tudyk in the show was the original pilot. He is Heller.
He's the son of the owner.
Correct. However, when they change it over to the next episode that we're going to cover, which is episode one, he becomes the cousin of Bruce Wayne. He actually becomes a character that is in the comic books.
That's hilarious, yeah.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne's cousin is an actual character in the comics. Bruce Wayne does have other extended family outside of, you know, his parents getting killed and his, you know, illegitimate son. So, Vanessa Hudgens...
Alan Tudyk does an excellent job. Like, in the pilot... he's very, you know, upset, and he wants to exert his respect in the office in horrible ways. And then in the actual show, he's a little bit more self-centered and just doesn't really understand or, you know, give a shit about other things the people are into or you know, needing in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays both characters so well. But I like seeing a little bit of charm from him in the actual show.
Correct. So in the original pilot, we'll compare the two together right now. Vanessa Hutchinson plays Emily Locke. Vanessa Hutchinson is probably best known for High School Musical, right, at this point?
I think so, yeah. Okay. This was 2016?
She was bright and funny and cute, and that's basically, you know, was getting her cast and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we have comedian Danny Pudi, who is best known for Community and Mystic Quest, which I think is actually still on the air right now on Apple TV.
It is.
Yes. I have only watched season one. I need to get back to that show. I only watched the first season during COVID. But he was also on DuckTales, but he is a stand-up comedian that has transitioned to multiple different mediums, including animation. Currently, as far as I'm aware, besides being on that show, Mystic Quest, he is the current voice of Bumblebee on Transformers.
Yeah, the last Transformers Earthspark.
Yes.
Was on 31 episodes of that.
Correct. I tried watching it, and I couldn't get past the first episode. A little bit too kiddie for me.
Okay.
we have Christina Kirk, and she comes back to play Jackie in both the original and the pilot. I don't know who this actress is.
She does not have an expansive career. She's been on a lot of one-shot episodes of, like, NCIS, corporate, FBI, love. This stint on Powerless, I think it's her longest run on a TV show. Oh, no. She was also on A to Z as Lydia Big Bird.
Gotcha.
Another 13 episodes.
What's also so one of the actresses that does not come back for this is Kate Micucci, best known for her small role in The Big Bang Theory, but she was just in Kevin Smith's The 4:30 movie. She is the mother of the girl of the interest of the main character from that film, but she was Webby Vanderquack on DuckTales for a number of episodes. She's done a ton of voiceover animation because she's like, you know, in her... whatever
she's got
age
that little cutesy voice.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, she's in her 30s or 40s, and she's got this, like, eternal cutesy, itsy-bitsy voice. She's also very well known for her band, which she sings incredibly inappropriate songs with another woman about. I think one of them's about why you should have anal sex instead of regular sex while you're still a good Christian girl.
Yes, that's the loophole.
Yes, wow. She's also one of the few people on IMDb that still lists a MySpace, but I think that's, again, because MySpace is used mostly for independent bands. But I digress. Yeah, what is the name of her band?
Her band, Garfunkel and Oates,
Thank
is
you.
Hilarious.
Yes, they haven't put out anything recently, though.
Yeah, they've been busy. Yeah. But if you listen to their catalog, it is hilarious and very inappropriate. Do not listen to it at work.
I'm just going to point out that she's also the third member of Community to come on this show. And also, most of the members of the Community have gone on to be in several of the Avenger films as second, like, side characters with, like, a quick line here or there.
Oh, yeah.
They're very funny. So she gets replaced over in the Powers show, the regular show, by Janine Pearson playing Wendy.
Oh, yes, yes. And this character has more of a tougher type of attitude.
Correct.
Than the cutesy version of the pilot.
And then we get added on for a character because I guess the cast is pretty white. I mean, there's a general good mix in here, but they don't have any African-American characters. So they added Ron Fuchs as Ron, a tech lab guy. Also a stand-up comedian, also a very well-known voiceover actor, done lots and lots of cartoons, more cartoons than I would even want to list. He's best known as King Shark on Harley Quinn.
Yes, King Shark and Cooper on the Trolls franchise series.
I have never seen a single one of those movies.
But because Ron's voice is so recognizable, you can just like hear him in episodes of like The Great North and Everybody Still Hates Chris and Inside Out 2.
Mm-hmm.
He was Bloofy there. And he just has this kind of wholesome vibe to himself and his voice. So he works on a lot of family friendly properties.
Two minor changes alongside Kate Micucci I thought were rather interesting is Mark McClure plays Emily's boss in this until he's killed by something. He plays Joe McNally, and Mark McClure is also DC Comics fame and credit. He is Jimmy Olsen in the four Superman Christopher Reeve films and Supergirl the movie.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yep. And he goes on to play her father then in the revamp of the show after the pilot is scrapped.
Yeah, although they still use the same footage.
Yes, they do. Also, Crimson Fox is a different actress. Crimson Fox in the pilot is played by Atlan Mitchell, who doesn't really have much of an IMDb. And she gets replaced by, she's a stunt actress. Her stuff is kind of all over the place in the stunt world. Her biggest claim to fame is that she was a stunt woman for The Flash and DC's Legends of Tomorrow. So she didn't leave the DC universe too far behind her.
Wow. Yeah.
And then she is replaced in the actual pilot by Deanna Russo, an actress that is probably known for multiple different small parts, like Two and a Half Men, romantic comedies, kind of one-off characters here and there.
Yeah, very much a comedian in a lot of short films and comedic bits. She is one of the characters on one of those parody shows online. It's called Burning Love. It is hilarious. I do recommend you like find that on YouTube, Burning Love. But she is one of the girls, and it's like a parody of a Bachelor-style show.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Also, the pilot, we get the owner of the crushed car gets kind of like a credit, Graham Duffy. I don't know much about him. But Kimani Ray Smith plays Jack-O-Lantern, who we see fighting Crimson Fox, the pilot.
Yeah.
I don't know who this character is in DC Comics. Crimson Fox is a member of the Justice League. She's a supermodel turned superhero in the Justice League International, the Bwahaha era of the Justice League. She showed up on the Justice League animated series. Beyond that, I don't have much more else for her. But they do use a lot of clips from the pilot in the first episode.
Yeah, they do. Although in the first episode, they do a lot more background on Emily before you actually see her.
Correct. We also get cameos and mentions from Starro the Conqueror. He gets, like, exploded climbing a building. Wonder Woman is mentioned. The opening of the pilot and the rest of the show is, of course, Action Comics number one. And we see, like, Vanessa Hudgens is, like, one of the people screaming at the sight of Superman lifting a car over his head.
Yeah.
Hawkman appears on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, because, of course, he would. Brainiac is mentioned. And Crimson Fox is believed to be dead, and except until it's revealed that he's not. And also, they think one of their colleagues is in fact Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, even though he looks more like Clark Kent Superman.
He does.
I was like, is he going to turn into Superman in this? Is this why they couldn't do this? No, they're not going to have Superman show up in this show. We're lucky we get Wayne Enterprises. There's so
much copyright
with DC Comics characters. It's ridiculous.
And just the privilege of having him mentioned to be on a phone call with with his cousin. Like, you know, just that little tiny, tiny bit of Batman right on the periphery.
We've covered the Arrowverse before over when we did Constantine. Did you know that it took them until the last minute of filming for even like an episode of Arrow where Oliver Queen mentions Bruce Wayne's name to get clearance for him to be allowed to say that?
Really? Wow.
They were going to go with Lex Luthor, actually. They had clearance on Lex Luthor because of Supergirl, but they did not have clearance on Bruce Wayne. And this is why Bruce Wayne does not show up, other than being played by Kevin Conroy, and he's not even in costume in that one episode where Supergirl and Batwoman go to that universe where they find out Batman killed Superman.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a big bunch of copyright with Batman being in television, and a lot of people think it's a conspiracy theory, and this show included, that the reason why is because the media rights to Batman connected to the old television show are so badly divided that Disney owns part of the media rights, television media rights to Batman.
Wow.
Yeah. And
I mean, what doesn't Disney own now?
Think about this. The Penguin show, there's no Batman. Birds of Prey TV show, there's no Batman. Gotham, Batman shows up for the last 5 seconds of the show in the last episode. Smallville, they used Green Arrow instead of Bruce Wayne to be Clark Kent's, like, you know, billionaire friend. You know, the list goes on the number of times that they just can't put Batman on television.
Hmm.
And it's a conspiracy that James Gunn denies, Matt Reeve denies in interviews that, no, it has nothing to do with, like, the old TV 60s rights to Batman. Because that was the last time we ever saw Batman on television in his own series. It's always been these ancillary things. It's Wayne Tech on this show.
Well, what about Batman the Animated Series?
Different rights.
Oh.
Animated. Doesn't matter. Spider-Man's television and animated rights are owned by Disney, but his movie rights are owned by Sony.
Huh.
That's why we're going to get Spider-Man, the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man cartoon series. However, that Spider-Man Friendly Neighborhood series, the year one's freshman year of the MCU Spider-Man, he's not wearing the Spider-Man costume. Granted, he didn't have it developed yet until Tony Stark came along. But there's a reason why a lot of the changes in Spider-Man have to be the way they are, because Sony and Disney own the rights to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's why the cast is so very different. You know, a lot of things about Spider-Man are very, very different. Why is Aunt May so hot and not an old woman? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, Marissa Tomei just turned 60, but she could still play Aunt May. Of course, you know, if you know the fate of Aunt May in the Spider-Man movies, that's a whole other thing. But I digress. It's interesting what they could use on this show for characters and what they couldn't use. And Crimson Fox is the biggest character they have on this show for DC characters.
Wow, yeah. So both episodes actually begin with the same opening.
Correct.
Like the train, Charm City, 8:16 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Where that goes is like right in the first episode, the next scene is Emily saying that she's new to the city. And so then you kind of expect that from here this is you know, wow, and that's how it is. You get this feeling from her. Whereas in the pilot, she's been living here for a while, and it's the voiceover that says, you know, oh, these things happen every day. And so she's more like one of those jaded Charm Cityites in the pilot than she is in the first episode.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the character itself, the difference between the two, they're very similar. They're both very strong. But because the pilot was in a insurance industry, you know, she's trying to stick up for people and then against the insurance company so that they get paid. It's a little bit of a different dynamic versus in the show where her purpose is just basically motivation. So she can be this kind of idealistic person and have that work more easily than in the insurance industry.
There's also like a big plot shift between the two episodes. In the first one, it's they're really concerned about people who don't get their, and boy, is this episode involving insurance and healthcare incredibly relevant.
I know.
I'm like watching and going, oh shit.
Yeah.
CEO of a New York healthcare company just got killed because he was denying people's claims. What is Van doing that could get him killed in today's modern world?
Oh, absolutely. Like denying people's life insurance claims. Like,
oh my God.
It is seriously evil stuff.
I could not believe that. I'm like, it's like halfway through the episode, it just dawns on me. I'm like, oh, wow. Can you imagine if this was the pilot that they debuted at Comic-Con, like, earlier this year? They'd be scrambling like crazy to change everything about it right now. They'd be like, absolutely not. We can't air that. Or it aired one time. Let's say it aired, like, earlier this season. What if they went with that? What if that whole thing was that entire season just happened, and they just finished airing their 12 episodes, and then what happened in New York last week happened in the last episode?
Yeah,
they would pull the plug on this show in 2 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly hits different watching the unaired pilot last year and watching it today. It's very different.
I just cannot believe that happened either. I'm still in shock, but at the same time,
I'm surprised it took this long.
Yeah, that person was kind of a piece of shit, but. Do we want people to just be assassinated because they're shitty at their jobs and they hurt people? No.
No.
We can't have. This is like, oh, but, well, what if he had killed Donald Trump? We wouldn't have the problems we're probably going to have coming up in 2025. I'm like, yes, that's. You can't just go around assassinating people. That's not okay.
No, that is true. It is not right to assassinate people.
It is not right to assassinate somebody in high power either. It causes a domino effect of bad things.
Debatable, but there was a time in America where if your populace was unpleased with your performance, they literally took apart your house brick by brick. That literally happened.
Do you also think that they changed a lot of the things for the pilot because they needed to make it more comic book centric? Because think about the pilot. Right? Yeah, they mentioned Green Lantern. Yeah, they showed Starro. But in the redo, and this, by the way, for anyone listening, this is our coverage of the both of them at the same time, just to give you a comparison, contrast, or whatever. They mentioned LexCorp, which is a rival of the Wayne Enterprises, Gotham yep. City, the Joker, Batman, the Gotham City Police Department. We yep. don't see the Joker, we don't see Batman, we don't see Lex Luthor show up.
Nope. No, we see someone that had been just recently attacked by Joker Venom pull out his antidote and cure himself on the spot.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't see the Joker.
Correct. By the way, for anyone who's interested in where to watch the show, I did do a little bit of research. It's not on any of the apps. It's actually on, as far as I can tell, it's Apple TV, Fandango, Amazon Prime, and YouTube, but you have to buy every episode to rent it.
Which is unfortunate.
Yes, but it is available to stream. You just have to pay for it. So I'm wondering if this is just because, again, it's a DC comic show, and then it's also an NBC show, so they have to share the rights, and they can't just have it on each one of the other streaming services. Because I went to NBC's website, and the link doesn't, like, go into the site. So
yeah, I don't know. The answer is always money. So
yeah, it's the problem.
The answer is always money.
It's the problem the Batman TV series with Adam West, who shows up on the show, had for a number of years. They couldn't show it other than like on reruns on cable until they finally got all the rights straightened out. And now there's every time you go to cons, I go to cons, Mr. Zeneca, there's tons of Batman 66 merchandise. But I'm just curious if maybe they changed it because they needed more of a DC-centered show, is my guess.
I don't know. The addition of Adam West's voiceover in the live episode one versus like not having them there in the pilot, I think it really adds a lot to the show. You know, it brings like a legitimacy to the DC-ness of the show.
Correct. Even though he does not play Bruce Wayne. Because Adam West at this point is in his 80s. They're not him play Bruce Wayne.
No, but you're hearing him. You're getting it in the back of your skull that, oh, that's Batman. You're like, you know, it's just a nice thing. Like, you know that he's not that character, but the voiceover calms you and soothes you that, yes, this is a Batman show. You're going to take a ride with us. Like, oh, yes, Adam West.
Correct. By the way, coming up later on, there will be a couple of names that pop up. I don't know if we'll catch the episode, the characters. They're not played by the actual comic book people, but Bill Finger, Marv Wolfman, and Gail Simone all get named as characters on this show. Bill Finger is, of course, the co-creator of Batman. Marv Wolfman wrote Batman for a number of years in the 80s, and he was the writer of The Crisis on Infinite Earths. And he created Nightwing for when he was writing Teen Titans, which is Dick Grayson. And Gail Simone is probably the most popular, well-known female writer in comic books going back to the 90s, having written the Birds of Prey comic book series, which was Oracle, Black Canary, Huntress, adjacent Batman characters. And she is currently the writer of The Uncanny X-Men.
Nice.
Yes. So... just some cool little name drops that I found in the IMDb credits before we get to their episodes that I just kind of wanted to point out now, as I am a massive, massive comic book fan, and I've had all of these people on my show. I did not have Bill Finger on the show, but I've had his granddaughter, Athena Finger, on my show, as well as Gail Simone's been on my show, and Mark Wolfman.
One of the differences from the pilot to the first episode is that in the pilot, there's more of an emphasis on Emily's kind of leadership and her strength.
Yes.
She's shown on TMZ basically because she asked Crimson Fox if she could just put the train back on the tracks. And I guess just that one step alone made everyone like congratulate her for even saying something to a super.
Mm-hmm.
And so that element is completely gone from here, from the first episode, because the character has changed. It's more like the new fish in a big bowl versus, you know, I've been living here a while. Can you just put the train back where you found it, please? You know?
Yeah, it seems more like she's in the redo of it. Crimson Fox wants to work with them more. Also, Crimson Fox gets a much better looking costume too.
Yeah. Although I think they did use some of the same footage between both.
Yeah, there is definitely some carryover footage. What of the carryover footage really stood out to you?
When she's backflipping over the bridges as the pumpkin bombs are exploding each bridge as she's kind of backwards flipping away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just like too identical and too unique to really notice that it was exactly the same footage.
The car piece falling on the guy's car too.
Some of the shots
that don't make it look like an insurance company. Alan Tudyk's acting is exactly the same as both douchey characters.
But I think in the first episode he plays it a bit more narcissistic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he plays a bit more narcissistic in the show. The pilot, he was definitely douchebaggery, but I think it was a little bit of an edge more malicious because of the acts that he was doing to the coworkers.
Have you ever had to use like a stand-up desk like that?
I have a stand-up desk that I've had for about 6 months, and I have not yet used it.
I think they're fine if you want to use them for your, like, if that's how you want to work. I know, like, the desks at my job, they will stand up, so you can stand up and do something instead of squatting down, especially if you're going to be constantly up and down on your feet. I find it a little bit easier.
Yeah, no, I just haven't used it. I have it here, I just haven't used it. I was standing up for about 2.5 hours at a They Might Be Giants concert, and I messed up my back to just doing that. So, yeah, the standing desk is just a dream. Hopefully in the future I will be able to stand for that long.
I think we covered everything that's the differences between the two episodes. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention?
Well, I mean, we could touch on the types of evil acts that Alan Tudyk's character, Adele, went to in the pilot.
The most evil is being denying an insurance claim and kind of relishing in it.
Yeah. He spills out exactly the purpose of the insurance company to make profit and to get as much money and then not pay out the claims. And so he wants to have a 25% increase in denials, just flat out denials.
Yikes.
And Emily's character has an approval rate of 90%. She's approving almost everyone that's coming across her desk. And he wants her to just drastically just deny, based off of little tiny things like he said that he was a non-smoker, but there's a picture of him with a cigar at his son's birth. Like, things that a normal human would say, okay, that was a special occasion. He's not actually a chain smoker.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a reason for the insurance company to deny. And that that's the evilness of the insurance companies. And then as Emily sticks up for the people and her fellow employees, he starts taking away Bagel Wednesday and giving them standing desks, taking away the chairs. The pilot is definitely a lot different in the characterization of Alan Tudyk's character.
I think what you said earlier is correct, that they definitely need to make him a little bit more likable, because this is just completely narcissism, and it could ruin their show. Of course, other things apparently ruin their show, but I digress. Non-marketing for this show, by the way, was one of the biggest problems. People did not know this was on. And then it was on the CW app.
Oh, and it's such a good show, too.
Yeah. I think it might still be on that CW app, whatever it's called. The one that CW constantly... If you can believe this, as of now, the CW, for the first time since 1995, when Superman the Animated Series aired, they do not have... The CW was originally the WB. They do not have a DC Comics show.
That is surprising.
1995, Superman the Animated Series aired, then Batman Beyond, then Smallville. There was might have been like maybe a year, less than a year, then Smallville ended. For 1 year, then it was Arrow, and the Arrowverse ran from November of 2012 till this past Monday when Superman and Lois aired their series finale.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It started with Superman, it ended with Superman on the CW.
That's basically all the notes I have for these episodes.
Well, we're going to be on the wild ride enjoying the next 11 episodes of Powerless, which I think, as many of the shows we cover, is canceled too soon. This is definitely one of the more newer shows we covered, because Constantine was from 2013 and this is from 2017. So I don't think we've covered anything else this new, as Reaper was 2007, 2008, right?
2008, I believe, okay. Yeah.
And then Constantine was 2013.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, there was a Dracula series that we did.
That was just before Constantine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was the year before Constantine. That got canceled. Or I'm wrong, it was the year after Constantine, but this is still the most recent show we have ever covered. And there's currently some debate on what we will cover next time after this is over, but this will keep us actually busier than I thought, a little bit longer than I thought. I didn't realize it was 12 episodes. I thought that was just the 9 until I found out, oh no, the episodes just didn't air because the show got pulled, and the last 3 episodes, unfortunately, don't have any rating numbers.
Yeah, so...
Very sad, but we're on the show for all 12 episodes. This is definitely the whole reason we do this podcast, as this show was unceremoniously canceled, and it's unceremoniously canceled that we didn't even get all the episodes to air. So that's even worse. At least most of the shows we've covered, every episode has aired. I think almost every show we've covered, every single episode at least aired. Except for Clerks, the animated series. If you remember, they only aired two of the episodes of Clerks, the animated series.
That's true. And they showed them out of sequence. And so I think it kind of screwed up the customer perception of the storyline.
Correct. Also a show that, you know, I don't think we'll cover. It's got its own dedicated fan base and podcasts out there. Firefly, they also did not air every episode of that.
Okay.
Yeah. But the next episode will be a fantasy show. We're still talking about what it could possibly be. We'll have to wait and see. But join us every other week as we cover Powerless. We'll be covering episodes 2 and 3. I will have mucho DC lore to dump all over this podcast.
Oh, as much lore as you can take in your ears.
Oh,
I
my
swear.
God. It'll be all over the place. Like, for instance, the first appearance of Crimson Fox was Justice League Europe issue number 6, September of 1989, created by the late, great Keith Griffin and Bart Sears. Again, she was part of the Bwahaha era of the Justice League, which is kind of a more of like comedy version of the Justice League, which some people either hate or love, but it definitely sold. I mean, the book was a big seller for DC for a number of years. And there's actually a Bwahaha podcast out there you can listen to called Justice League, the Bwahaha podcast. It's just ended its run because they finally got to the end of the entire storyline, but they cover Crimson Fox over there, and that's over on the Fire and Water Network that you can actually check them out, and we'll have a promo playing before our show of their network just because of their giant association with DC Comics.
And that's just a taste of the DC stuff that you'll get next time on the Dead TV Podcast.
And you can find us over on the Dead TV Podcast Facebook page. If you missed the episode about Generation X, you can go over there and check that out with the co-conspirators I had on for that. If we can get somebody from DC Comics on the show with us to talk a little bit about this show that maybe worked on it or maybe knew something about it or at least was a fan of it, I will let you know. I do have some DC Comics contacts, so I will keep you up to date on that. We might save them for the end of the show so we can concentrate on the show itself. You can find me over on Radio of Horror on Sunday nights from 10 to midnight, and Misha Zeneca, wherever she happens to be, setting up some kind of amazing bar thing for the holidays.
Oh, yes. You can see me on Instagram at Elegantly Kinky.
Awesome. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with episodes 2 and 3 of Powerless here on the Dead TV Podcast.
Good night.